We're looking into God's Word, and we're into Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. This passage in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19 onwards is sandwiched between the wonderful priesthood work of Jesus and the faith chapter of chapter 11. And this is a chapter that talks about perseverance. And we read, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.' It's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." This is our main text for today. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he is coming. He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. The famous late Walt Disney had 5 rules for life. Everything you do affects tomorrow. Free up your imagination. Go for quality. Stick to itivity. And have fun. I suppose stick to itivity, we should have put hyphens in that, but that, you get the message. And it's interesting how perseverance is really stick to itivity. Because if you do, it will affect tomorrow. If you do persevere and stick to itivity, then it'll free up your imagination. It'll enable you to go for quality, and indeed, you'll have fun. You can actually Christianize these. You can actually find texts in the Bible that match every one of these. I'll give you that as homework if you're interested. We're not going to do it now, but you can actually do that. And of course, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean you're not in the kingdom. It means you're not a participating, active, working member of the kingdom. And our key verse is really verse 36. You need to persevere so that you, when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Verse 35 says, don't throw away your confidence like you sort of throw away an old coat, because it will be richly rewarded. This is a very interesting word, perseverance, in Scripture. Sometimes it's translated in different versions in different ways, because it actually comes from the root of the word to abide. It's the same word to abide. What the word to abide then has various prefixes put in front of it in the Greek to give you different words like perseverance, endurance, steadfastness. And you see in different versions of the Bible the various translations in this way. It actually means to remain in place, to continue on, to tarry, to hang about, to hang on in there. Over the years in my ministry, I've shared with churches who've gone through many, many crises. Different churches. My first church that when we came back from Nigeria, they had just lost their minister. He died from cancer at the age of 38, and they were going through a terrible time of bereavement. I've gone through churches who've experienced serious illness, of debt, of disagreements, personal problems of redundancy, neighbor disputes. Even I've shared with people who've been evicted from their homes. Troubles and difficulties. And Jesus said, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. And we're going through this time where illness seems to just dominate our fellowship at this particular time. But there is encouragement in this chapter to persevere. And in these verses that we've read, our encouragement we need to look at, our encouragement is in God. Not in ourselves, it's in God. And the first encouragement that comes to us in this chapter, in verses 19 to 25, is in God's market garden. The second is in God's courtroom, and the third is on God's counseling couch. And these are the verses we're going to have a look at. You see, God's market garden, this is sandwiched, as we said, between the wonderful work of Jesus Christ and the faith that enables us to come in to the kingdom. And here we have this faith that we need to let us do something. So that's the market garden. It's full of lettuces. I thought that might take a minute or two to sort of sink in. And God's market garden says, let us draw near to God. Let's enter the most holy place through the blood of Jesus. Let's come with gratitude. Let's enter with sincere hearts and full assurance of faith, sprinkled and to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards good deeds and love, and let us not give up meeting together. The tendency is, when we're going through times of difficulty, and I've known this in my ministry when I've done, I want to withdraw. I want to go monastic. When I'm dealing with people who are out of my control, things that are out of my control, what do I want to do? Oh, Lord, deliver me. And I say, deliver me from. And God says, no, I'm going to deliver you through. And in this, we have this wonderful thing where it says, yes, come into God's presence, come with sincerity, hold on to unswerving hope, but then also deal with one another. Spur one another on to good works and love and faith. And meet together. I don't think this necessarily means that everybody's got to come together in one place. I think, in groups, in house groups, in home groups, in activity groups, two or three people meeting. At one stage in ministry, we used to have a prayer link sort of friendly prayer link scheme where two or three people met together each week or each fortnight and prayed together and supported one another, just in the home of one of them. It says, what he's saying here is, don't abandon the basics. Don't abandon or desert or go AWOL on the things that we should be doing while we're going through this time of difficulty. Especially, he says, as the day is approaching, because Jesus is coming back. Sometimes that pales into sort of distant in our minds, but we always need to remember Jesus could come back tonight. He may come back tomorrow. And the problem that we have had and what churches have had over the years, just you think, as things are starting to pick up and going well, then pow, you get hit. And sometimes it's from the things of the world, sometimes it's from the things of the flesh, and sometimes it's from the devil himself. And often it's not easy to distinguish which direction it comes from, but it comes. And as a leadership and as a congregation and as the pastor and his family at this particular time, we've been hit. And the temptation is to say, why, Lord? We're just sort of getting our feet going. Why? There's no why in this chapter. There's no why. It just says, keep doing the things that you're doing. God's market garden is an encouragement to us. You know, the farmers of Africa have a very short harvest season or planting season. And when the rains, early rains come, all the men go out in the and dig by hand acres of land. And then they attend the medical center. Because they got an ache here, they got an ache there, and they got an ache there. One of the doctors used to call it, they've got Andir's disease. I've got a pain here, and here, and here, and here. And they used to get treated for cut toes. And they got treated for pulled muscles. And they got treated for sprained wrists. But do you know, the next day they had to go out and farm again. Because the season was so short, they had to plant, they had to dig, they had to plant, they had to, because their life and their family's lives depended on it. I was saying to Marilyn this morning as she was taking a thorn from my finger, do you know, we in the West have a very low pain threshold. Seems all right now, but oh, at the time. And we do, and spiritually, we have a very low pain threshold. And we want to withdraw. But then the next encouragement is God's courtroom. Now this is a tough passage. It's one of the most difficult passages of the New Testament. Why I chose this passage, I really don't know. But we're going to have a look at it very quickly. It's a fearsome warning passage that we need to take on board. It's a passage that talks about people who fall away. People who keep on sinning. People who trample on the Son of God, who insult the Holy Spirit. And endurance and perseverance have gone out of the window. Evidently, there's a Russian proverb which says, you may not drive straight along a twisty lane. And that's what we want to do. We want everything to go smooth, but it's not. It's going to twist. So you have to go with the twists. And you have to accept the twists. Now this frightens me, this passage. Anyone who has rejected the law of Moses died without mercy. How much more severely do you think a man who deserves to be punished, who has trampled on the Son of God, who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated the unholy things and the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? God will judge. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of God. And if you think you've done it, you haven't. You have not done it, if you're concerned about it. Because apostasy, as Barclay calls it, the total falling away here, are by people who have no concern for the consequences, who have no concern for the gospel. He says this. He says apostates have had no personal experience of God and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. They have only had a formulated system of beliefs which they have rejected. Raymond Brown, in his commentary on Hebrews, says, once you are soundly in, you can never be out. And this passage really flies in the face of those wonderful assurance passages that Jesus, no one can pluck you out of my hand. And yet we do need to take the warning seriously. So keep near. Stand firm. For God will, and this is the thing, judge his people. Not just those who've had an academic sort of idea of the system, but he will judge his people. So that's a warning to us. That's the negative. We've had the positive. Here's another positive. The third encouragement is God's counseling couch. And from verses 32 to 34, we have this lovely little section which starts off by saying, remember. Remember. The writer here makes reference to great persecution. Talks about publicly exposed to insult. People who've been in prison. People who have lost their property. Now, I don't think we have got to that stage yet. But I think the encouraging thing is, what God is saying is, and in counseling, when you're talking to people in a counseling situation, you often have to deal with memories. The healing of the memories is often a very important part of counseling. And you have to deal with the bad memories, and you have to sort out the good memories. And here he says, look, on God's counseling couch, remember, you've actually been through difficulties before. You've actually had real problems in the past. And what happened? You came through. Our early Baptist nonconformist dissenting forefathers went through a very difficult time. Under Charles II and James II, about 25 years of persecution. Some of them were put into prison and they died there. Like John Bunyan, who you know, wrote Pilgrim's Progress while he was in prison. Some were deported to Australia. And under Judge Jeffreys, who did a circuit of his, what they called the Bloody Assize in Wiltshire and Dorset and Dorchester particularly, he condemned many, many, many nonconformists to prison and death. We're not facing that. And I think what God is saying to us here in this passage, just remember what you went through, but look at church history as well, and remember what people have gone through. And the gospel has survived, and people have survived, and there's been blessing come out of it. There have been times in my ministry when I've said to the Lord, I've had enough, Lord. I can't cope with this anymore. And so often the Lord has come back with verses of Scripture. There was a lovely prayer that I read when I was going through one of these times which said that I want you to finish the work I have given you to do. And then there was a quote in my Bible reading book where it says, don't give in because the pain is bad. Just get on with it and before long you will find you have a new vision and a new purpose. So think back to when you overcame. Think back to Hebrews chapter 6 where it says we have an anchor for our soul, which holds us, and it's Jesus. Think on to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, which says, laying aside the weights and the sins that cling so closely to us, let us persevere. Press on towards the mark, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. He goes on and commends the Thessalonians for their perseverance and faith. And may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance, he prays for them. He commends them for their perseverance and prays they've got a bit more to go on with. And James is the one that really comes through with perseverance. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testimony of your faith, the testing of your faith, develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may become mature and complete with nothing lacking. And then later in chapter 5, he said, that's in chapter 1. In chapter 5, he says, as you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. And then he quotes Job. Job persevered. He had a right chat with God about it, but he persevered. So in the light of doing God's will, of receiving God's promises, of Jesus' return, we don't throw away the confidence which will be richly rewarded. But we need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. The thing is, we will come through. We come through this as we came through other things. We come through this as we came through the pastoral vacancy. We will be stronger. And people who have personal situations, you will come through. When we went to the States, we went on the famous Route 66. Route 66 is one of the first major roads that was ever created in America, from Chicago up in Illinois, right down across 100 towns and cities, through 8 states, down to Los Angeles in California. Hundreds and hundreds of miles. But the interesting thing about Route 66 is that they say it means, it will always mean going somewhere. Through pain and illness and bereavement and redundancy and family strife and difficult neighbors and problems at work, the devil will try and tell us that we're going nowhere. But Jesus comes along and he says to you, through perseverance, you will always be going somewhere. You will always be making progress. You will always becoming more mature, more complete in him. And so he says in the last part and the last verse of this chapter, but we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Now faith is the beginning, it is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see, the first verse of chapter 11. We are those who are going somewhere. We are persevering. We are doing God's will. We will receive what he has promised. Because he encourages us through his market garden, through his courtroom, and through his counseling couch. May God enable us to pray for and practically support one another in our times of need. And then we will be able to sing, Blessed be your name.